Man, it is a crazy time to call yourself a Christian, because nobody really knows what that means. And I was flipping channels the other day because I had a moment, and y'all have heard me talk about this show before. I'm flipping channels, and there's this guy. He's about the ugliest guy I've ever seen. He's got a clock hanging around his neck. Flavor Flav, come on now. I love it. All none of you are like, everybody knows who I'm talking about. So you're all watching the show too. And some time ago, whenever it was, this girl was on the show and she was trying to explain to them that she's a Christian. And she goes, "I'm saved." And Flavor says, "You know, that's good. You know, be who you are," or something like that, you know. And everybody's like, "Yeah." She goes, "I got the Holy Spirit and I speak in tongues." And then it shows him go like that. And nobody knows, because then this girl's like dropping the F-bomb a bunch of times, and nobody knows. And what does it really mean to be a Christian? And then there's Mary J. Blige. How many of you heard of her? And man, this girl, man, she's had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and she was on Oprah. And Oprah was interviewing her, and she was just telling her, she said, "Listen, I had all the money, I had everything, and I was ready to end it all." She goes, "And that's when Jesus stepped into my life and he saved me." You know, and then you hear that. It's like, hey, yeah, you know, that's real. But how do you know? I mean, how is the world supposed to know what a Christian really is? I mean, come on, how many of us are acting like it all the time? Yeah, I already know about you. I'm kidding. I mean, you know, think about that. I mean, listen, I hate to even tell people that I'm a pastor, because I'm wondering, you know, what I did. I mean, every time I'm going down Scottsville Road, somebody cuts me off, or somebody like gets in front of me and then goes 20 miles an hour, and you know, and the horn doesn't work on my car, so all I can do is yell and they can't hear. You know, and you're making these faces, you know, because you want them to know that you are not happy with them. And we get down here, you know, to the Campbell Lane, and we get there by, you know, in front of Kroger, and they got their left turn signal on. And I'm like, And they turn on the Nashville Road, and I'm behind them, so I'm going down Nashville Road, and they keep going straight and straight, and they get close to the church, and they put on the right turn signal. I'm thinking, oh, great. Of course, I just keep on going. I get on the Natcher, go back around, hit Scottsville, and do it all again, you know? And Paul addresses this group of people from this wild place called Corinth. And here at this place are these people. They call themselves Christian. Now, everybody listen to this. I really want everybody to hear this, because here's what I don't want us to do with this message tonight. I don't want us to say, "Well, that's a great message for whoever." This is a message for all of us, that God is calling us to live our lives in a holy way. That's what God is calling from us. And so, no matter what anybody does to you, no matter what anybody says to you, no matter how they treat you, no matter what's going on, no matter what the bill collectors say, no matter what, we're supposed to conduct ourselves like Jesus would. So Paul's addressing this group in this place called Corinth. Corinth is this, it's a skanky town. It really is. I mean, you name it, and it's going on there. They actually have temples that have prostitutes at the altar. And don't you know, those churches were packed. And that wasn't a church that had problems reaching men. They were in line, waiting, no matter how long it took. This place, and so in the middle of this crazy place is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's constantly reminding these people, come on, here's how you're going to stand out and be different. And so we're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he says this: "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but is worldly. And I want you to notice something. He's starting off by saying brothers. So what do we know about this? Who are these people he's addressing? They're Christians. He's calling them brothers. But he says, you know, I can't address you as spiritual, but as worldly. You see, I know you're a believer. I know Jesus lives inside of you, but you got to settle down. I can't even call you spiritual by the way that you're living your life. I can only call you worldly. And he's saying this, there's no difference between you and anybody else. Now, this is serious, because here's what's at stake here. If I'm not living my life any different, then why am I even here? I might as well just go on and be with the Lord in heaven, because I'm no good here. And he's telling them, listen, I can't even call you spiritual because you're worldly, mere infants in Christ. He said, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. You ever given a kid that should be having milk, solid food? I have 4 times. I remember, you know, Mildred come home and she said, you know, well, what'd Sam eat today? I'm like, a hot dog, steak. You know, he's like 7 months old. She's like, well, how'd that go? I said, well, I had to hit him on the back about 30 times, but he launched it into the other room. He wasn't ready. Paul's saying, you're not even ready for what I want to share with you. But listen, here's the deal. With obedience comes incredible blessing. Last week I told you, and I know you all remember, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it for the sake of the few that weren't here, right? That if you could be right where God wants you to be, it's an incredible place. I was a youth pastor for 5 or 6 years. And you know, you would talk to these teenagers and you were just, man, trying to encourage them. Or, you know, I'd be talking to these couples who were thinking about getting married. And you try to, you know, just encourage them. And, you know, because whenever I do premarital counseling, I always, you know, kind of find out, you know, I hope you aren't sexually active. And you can always tell right there if they are or not, no matter how they answer it. Because as soon as you ask, they both are like, they look down. And the guy's trying to look over like, are we telling him? Are we not telling him? And you're just trying to tell people how blessed your life will be if you'll just be obedient. I'll never forget, one of the tough parts of being a youth pastor was Sunday mornings, I could tell you what girls in our youth group lost their virginity that weekend. Because you could see it on their faces. Because it was different and it wasn't the same. And Paul's saying, you know what? This isn't just that God's this major bummer. Like, there are blessings to obedience. There's blessings to obedience. Well, we're at a restaurant with a bunch of pastors. And I'm with this one pastor you guys may have heard of, Steve Ayers. And the waiter is a newlywed. And he's waiting on us. And so at the end of our meal, Steve says, brother, can we pray with you? He goes, well, what do you want to pray for? Steve said, I want to pray you have the hottest sex you've ever had in your life. There's like 4 pastors that they didn't know what to do. You know, and other pastors are just cracking up. And the guy looks at me because I'm sitting next to Steve. And I'm like, it's true. It's true. And we pray right there in that restaurant. And, you know, Steve's real quiet and subtle. So, like, there's all kinds of booths. I mean, there were men just wanting to come up to him. All right, now, how do you do that again? How does that work? There are blessings to obedience. And Paul's saying, listen, you got to look out. There's all kinds of stuff out there. And it will be so easy for you just to look like everybody else. And Paul's saying, so don't do that. Listen, he said, I gave you milk because you weren't ready for solid food. I really want you to hear what he says here. Listen to this. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? And so they're fighting And they're quarreling. And so here's Apollos and here's Paul. Neither of them are pastors, but they are kind of like evangelist or church planning kind of guys. And different congregations said, well, we've heard Apollos preaching. We follow him. And, you know, we follow Paul. And can I give you a modern day of what that's like? Well, we go to Hillview. So we're better than you and your church. Or somebody from another church saying, well, you're Hillview. I mean, how many of you have ever had something negative said to you because you go to Hillview? Raise your hand. The rest of you haven't been here long enough. But you know what Paul's saying? Don't go around boasting about Hillview. What's Hillview? Hillview's never saved anybody. And it's this powerful thing because, you know, people come here and they'll say when they first came, they didn't know what to think. They'd never heard music like that at church. And they heard Steve preach and said, I've never heard anybody preach that could keep me awake. And I hear all these stories, but I want you to know, Hillview's never saved anybody. And Steve Ayers has never saved anybody, and Jamie Ward has never saved anybody. Only God can do that. And so I don't have to brag about Hillview or brag about this preacher or this preacher because God saved me and no preacher could have done that. And he's saying, so now my allegiance is not to a church. So like when I tell you all this stuff, I mean, I want you all to leave saying, that aren't married, saying, oh, I guess I can't have sex. Pastor Jamie said I can't. No, God said you can't. Yet. I thought for sure that'd get an amen or something. Because God is the one who has the incredible plan for your life. God is the one who, I'm going to tell you, you won't imagine what He can do in you and through you if you would trust Him. And you would never ever say, wow, I'm so good, God's using me. You would never say that. The fact that God uses you ought to make you say, my gosh, this God is incredible. Because He can use me. Listen, there was nothing worthy about me. There was nothing good in me. It was God who saved me. And so all I can say is, wow, what a God. And if you really, really feel that way, guess what you've got to do? Two things. It drives you to obedience. Because, you know, my mom and dad never said, well, we'll just be so disappointed in you. But they just said, remember who you belong to. You know what they meant? They didn't mean that I belong to them. That I belong to God. And you don't want to disappoint God. And you don't want to let God down. Now, I want you to hear me. This isn't going to be like a night of guilt. Really, this is a great night. Because whatever I can say, I can only say it because God is so great and He's worthy to be served and He's worthy of my life. How many of you like are just surprised like that you're still alive at the age you are? I mean, really, some of you, it was the hand of God, you know, because you were dumb. My hand's up. Thank you. Yeah, my hand's up. Absolutely. And this God, He's so incredible. And Paul's saying, listen, don't live like everybody else because they have nothing to live for. They're not living for anything. Listen, if you're not a believer, you're not living for anything. You're on a gradual decline. You are dying. It's only in Jesus that we can have life. And I want you to know, I've done a lot of stupid stuff. And, you know, a lot of the stuff I did, it was great for like a minute. But walking with Jesus has been incredible for years. You know what my friends used to tell me? Because when my senior year, man, God did something in my life that I couldn't deny anymore. And I would tell everybody about Jesus, even when I was in high school, that senior year. And you know what people would tell me? Jamie, you'll get over that. We had that experience too. You'll get over it. Can I tell you something? I'm still not over it. I'm still not over it. And I'll tell you why. Because it's real. I know you guys probably made some observations about me, and one of them probably has been that I'm not real smart. And so I love it like when real smart people want to debate with me. Because I can't. I concede. But here's what I can't deny. Something has happened to me. And it's not about me. And it wasn't. It's God did something to me. He did something in my life. And I want people to know that. I want them to experience it. If you really love people, you want to do that. And Paul says, listen, if you're living in a worldly kind of way, nobody's going to get what you're saying. You know, maybe the girl on Flavor Flav, maybe she really got saved. I don't know, but I'm just telling you, after I got saved, I wasn't acting like that. I'd have a moment here and there. How many of you have a moment? Right? But I just can't live like that anymore. God won't let me. I'm miserable. And so Paul's saying, listen, you can't be like that. Be different. Man, just the world does what they do, and people are out there bragging about what church they go to, or what pastor they have, or what preacher they listen to, or all kinds of things. And he said, it's not about those things. Paul even, he goes on to say, listen, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Paul says, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Did you hear that? God made it grow. Only God can do that. And He sends planters and He sends waterers, but only God can make it grow. And so you're saved not because you figured it out or because somebody figured it out for you. You're saved because God saved you. And it's the only hope you have. You know why I preach this way? Because I know some of you are thinking, gosh, there's unbelievers here. They're going to get real discouraged. No, this is the greatest thing you could ever hear, that you can't save yourself. Only God can save you. I wish some of you would quit trying. And church is the worst place. At least out in the world, people say, well, I'm going to try it only. I remember talking to a guy one time. He says, man, I smoke pot every day. I said, man, you need to quit that. And he goes, you think I'll just go 3 days a week? But we've all tried to save ourselves. And church people are the worst. Well, I go to church 3 times a week. And I have a Bible study at my house. And I'm reading a devotional book. And I have a signed copy of The Purpose-Driven Life. I'd love just to be like standing outside the gates and just see all these people with their books and their autograph and their sign, all their Bible study books, like, God's going to love this. Only He can save you. That's it. If He doesn't save you, you can't be saved. I really want you to hear that. And Paul's going to great detail here, because he's talking to religious people. He's talking to these baby Christians. And you know what? You can be a Christian for 20 years and still be a baby Christian, because we refuse to grow up. I remember the biggest trouble I got in at my last church, and it was a real traditional church, is I did a sermon on spiritual maturity, and I started out the sermon, and I had a kid's potty up on the stage. And I told the story about how, I have a picture of my second son sitting on that little potty with giving us a thumbs up. It's a great picture. And I told the church, how sick would it be if I had a picture of me sitting on it giving you the thumbs up? That was about the response I got. And I got called to the pastor's office the next day, and he was upset. He said, potty humor doesn't fly. And I was like, well, there were 3 people. They were really cracking up. They liked it, you know. But that's what it looks like when we refuse to grow up. That's what it looks like. And so Paul's saying, listen, grow up. This is about God. It's not about you. You get eternity in heaven forever and ever and ever. And I've never heard it. I'm just being honest. I've never heard a sermon about heaven that made me want to go there. It's got streets of gold. Well, that doesn't juice me. But you know what makes heaven heaven? Is that God is there. And I don't know what that's going to be like. But I know this, that God's Word says that's where you're going to want to be. And so far, everything I've read in that Bible, I've been able to trust. And I've been able to see the fruit of it. And when I submit myself to it, guess what happens? My life gets better. It's amazing. It's amazing when I go home and treat my wife in a Christian way. It's a lot better night. Take that for whatever you want it to mean. But you know, when I come home, I'm like, ugh, I worked hard all day. It was a tough day. She's like, what, your chair didn't swivel all the way around? You know, I mean, I come home and I'm like, you know, where's my socks? Why aren't they folded and, you know, put together? Whatever that's called. You know, and she's just like, excuse me? And that's when the Lord gets a hold of me. I'm like, what? I didn't say anything. But it's amazing when I treat her the way God wants me to treat her. My life is better. And when I conduct myself in a way that God wants me to conduct myself, it's incredible. My life's better. And like, it's amazing when I do the things that the Bible says, like don't cheat and don't lie. I never have to worry about anything catching up with me. And I'm going to tell you, I have lived worrying about what was going to catch up to me. That is no fun. When there's a knock at the door and you go out the back door. Of course, you got caller ID and there's so-and-so. Nope. It's amazing. When you live life the way God wants you to, you don't have to worry about stuff catching up to you. Listen, this works. It's incredible. And so God says, live your life for my glory. Live your life for my name. Live your life for me, and I will throw blessing upon blessing on you. And some of you are struggling because you're doing all the other stuff, but not what God's asked you to do. And so I meet all these people, and they just struggle. And I meet these guys, and they struggle with pornography. And guess what they do because they struggle with pornography? They go to 2 Bible studies. And keep looking at pornography. It doesn't cancel out like that. God says, listen to me. Obey me. It will be better for you. It will be better for you. And so Paul says, I don't want you to get into all that. Because if you're going to grow in your life, only God can bring growth. Now listen, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And so Paul comes back to an agricultural metaphor. It was an agricultural society, and they understood planting. And they understood watering. But what was different about it is a farmer knows if he doesn't plant and he doesn't water, nothing's going to grow. And then guess what happens? There's that year that they didn't get the seed out in time. They still put it out, but it was way late. And they didn't know what they were going to do. And guess what happened? It grew to a harvest of proportion that they had never seen. And so guess what the farmer had to say? It was God. And some of you, you feel like you've planted too late. You feel like you haven't watered properly. And you're not sure what's going to happen. But I want you to know this God we serve, He's incredible. And I can't tell you how many times I didn't get what I deserved. And instead, God showered me with grace. So I'm dating this girl in college. We've been dating for about 2.5 years. And girls, you know, here's a sure sign that the guy that you think you're going to marry is not real serious about marrying you is when he gives you a ring and no date. That's just called a peace offering. So, man, I knew God didn't want me in this relationship with this girl. I knew it. I mean, God had made it clear. She made me miserable. I made her miserable. And so what do? When you meet somebody who makes you miserable, you marry them. Why? Because you didn't listen to God. And so I remember, man, I was just crying my eyes out. Because when you're not in a relationship God wants you to be in, it goes crazy. It goes haywire. And so I said, God, I'm going to trust you with everything, but my dating life, how smart is that? So next thing I know, I'm engaged to this girl. Now, obviously, it sounds like I woke up one day and was like, what? We're what? I mean, obviously, I went and got a ring and everything. Asked her to marry me. And knowing that's not what God wanted. Knowing my life was going to be miserable. So I remember praying one day and I knew God just had made it so clear this isn't what He wanted for me. And so I had to man up and I said, okay, Lord, here's the deal. If she'll break up with me, I'll make sure we won't get back together. That's a man's prayer, right? So like that night, we get in another stupid fight, right? You may ever have a stupid fight. Yeah, who knows what it was over. I guessed who was singing the song on the radio and she disagreed. I'm like, uh-uh. And she's like, uh-uh. You know, next thing you know, she throws the ring at me. And I just was elated. And so like as soon as she throws it, I'm like looking for it. Because by the way, because it's mine. Everybody always wants to argue about that. And just email me if you have any problems with that. Ward@hillview.com. And that was it. And that was it. And you know what? You know what I didn't know then? I didn't know how awesome God was going to bless me in marriage. I mean, my wife is incredible. We're recording, right? She is two copies. You know, those tonight right after the service. I mean, she's incredible. I mean, somebody knows I did an incredible con job because she married me. And it's been the most incredible blessing of my life. You see, but let me tell you, here's the deal though. When I was doing all that other junk, I didn't know. I didn't know what was down the road. And God just said this, keep planting, keep watering. And you know what that means? Be faithful. Be obedient because I've got something for you. And it's tough in the moment. Well, God, what I have is okay. Because I didn't know. Well, now I see that. I'm like, somebody should have shot me in the head. What I was willing to throw away, of course, I didn't know it. Why am I telling you that? Because God's got something for you. Hang on. Be faithful. Be obedient no matter how bad it hurts. Be faithful. No matter who's going to leave you or who's going to care, be faithful. Because God's got something incredible for you. And you just don't know it. And if you could see it for a minute, you know what? You wouldn't have an ounce of trouble right now if you saw what God has for you. But guess what? You know why you can't see it? Because God wants you to follow Him. God wants you to follow Him. Paul said, it's not about Apollos. It's not about me. We plant, we water, but God makes it grow. This is about God. We're going to have a time of altar. And my guess is that many of you, everybody look up here, many of you are just dabbling in stupid stuff. And you don't know what God has for you. And if you could see it for a minute, you know what? It wouldn't even hurt to get rid of whatever you had to get rid of. It wouldn't even hurt to stop doing whatever you got to stop doing. Or it wouldn't even hurt to start doing what you need to be doing. If you could see, but you know what? God calls you to follow Him. He's got stuff in His hand, but He doesn't want you to follow Him for that. He wants you to follow Him because He is worthy. And there is no greater thing He has for you than Himself. Did everybody hear that? That's why it'd be a little bit tough tonight. Because I've already let the cat out of the bag that God's got something awesome for you. And so a lot of you are going to come to the altar and say, God, just tell me what it is. Just tell me, God. I'm going to close with just a really funny story. At least it's funny to me. Me and this girl broke up, and I tell everybody, no matter what kind of dog you've been with for 2 years, you know, it hurts not to be with it anymore, right? Of course, I'm talking about the hurt that she was experiencing, right? I was a dog. But, you know, it hurt. I knew it's what God wanted, but it hurt. And so that night that she broke up, I prayed and said, God, just let me meet my future wife. And even if I just see her, God, that'll be fine. Even if we don't get married for 20 years, God, just show me that she's there. I'm going to tell you something. I met Mildred that night. No lie. Now, I had no idea. God didn't say, there she is. I didn't walk in and the light was shining on her, you know. And she didn't look around and see me and be like, I met her that night. I didn't know who she was, and I never thought a thing about her when I met her. And I just think God had a hilarious time with that. Look, hey, watch this, watch this. They're meeting. He doesn't even know it. You know why? Because God didn't want me to focus on a future wife. He wanted me to focus on Him. Listen, I'm going to take you to a place if you'll follow me. But you got to follow me. And God says, you're not going to follow me with all that crap in your life. Lay it down and follow me, no matter how bad it hurts, no matter what it costs, follow me. So I had to follow God. And I'm going to tell you, I don't regret a day. I don't regret a day of all the stuff I thought I was losing when I think about what I've gained. And it's way more than all that stuff. Because I want you to know, man, there are just days, and I don't care if you're married, you have days when you're lonely. And guess what? Guess what I've experienced? That God's there. And there are days when you feel like you can't do anything right. Some people help you to feel that way. And God is there. And then sometimes, I don't know about you ladies, but for us guys, since we don't do a lot of public crying, there's just a lot of times we're by ourselves that we just want to cry. I don't need somebody. What's going on? And God is there. And He's never let me down. He's never left me hanging. And when He hasn't always given me the answers, He's wrapped His arms around me. And there hasn't been anything I've had to go through that He hasn't pulled me through. Because He's faithful. And so He says to us tonight, follow me. Follow me. Lay it down. And my guess is a lot of us here tonight, we're not really following Him. And just like Paul says here, brothers, that you're a believer in Jesus, but you're just not really following Him. You're concerned about a lot of other things. I want to ask you tonight to come to this altar and say, God, forgive me. And somehow we got to come to this place. Everybody listen to this. Everybody look up here. We've got to come to this place. And I said it 1,000 times, and I don't know if I believed it 900 of them, but I said it. Because I knew it was what was right. And I just said, God, you're all I need. You are 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 all I need. And I kept saying it, and I didn't always believe it, and I kept saying it, and guess what? Guess what happened one day? He was all I needed. He was all I needed. So I'm going to pray. And if you know that's what you need to pray, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar tonight and just pray, God, you're all I need. And today, maybe for you, it'll be the first day of the most incredible adventure of your life. And you pray this every day. And then I want you to email me at ward@hillview.com on that day when you say, guess what, today, He's all I need. Let's pray. If you know you need to come to the altar tonight, I'm just going to ask you to get up right now and just come to the altar. Just get up and come right now. Lord, you're all I need. Father, we come to you because you're the giver of life. We come to you because you're all we need. We come to you because you care more than anybody else. We come to you because you have loved us. You have forgiven us. You have saved us. You have a plan for us. And we come to you, Lord Jesus, because you are all we need. So speak to our hearts. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, You've never invited Him to come into your life. You've never asked Him to forgive you of your sin. If you know you've never done that tonight and you know you need to, would you just lift your hand right where you're sitting? Put it right back down. I'm the only one looking. Anybody else? If you raise your hand, I want to invite you to come to this altar tonight and just say, Pastor Jamie, I need a relationship with Jesus. I need Him to forgive me. And I'm going to tell you, He will. Lord, we love You. You're all we need. Let's stand together and sing. This altar is open. You come.